Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everybody know that, attention Florida, if you're a victim of an auto accident, we introduce our live chat sponsor, Ison Legal Law Firm, dedicated to responding and representing to injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Ison Legal Law Firm, 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Ison Legal Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733. You can also visit IsonLegalLawFirm.com. Ison Legal Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices, Tampa. Nondescript pick tonight for the Bucks, way down late in the first round. Could go defensive back, could go wide receiver, could go defensive end. I think probably defensive tackle, defensive end, probably somewhere in there. Your Eagles, you want a corner, director? You want a corner, I would guess that's what you want?
Yeah, I think that's the consensus, trading up for a corner.
Well, you have to be in all-in mode. You've already invested. You guys have put – this is it, right? You gotta get to a Super Bowl and win it. That's the – your windows close quick. Windows close quick. So you start aging, you're like, okay, well, man – we've got a roster we like here, but we're on the back end of that.
Yeah, and they're aging in all the wrong spots as well. I mean, corner's old, the line's getting old now. It's time.
Dicey. It gets dicey, man. It gets dicey. I do think that as of tonight, at this point, the draft starts with the fourth pick held by the Cardinals. Their GM, Monty Ossenfort, told teams he will not move the pick until he's on the clock. So they're not going to do anything until tonight in the fourth pick, and then let's see if they get that offer that some people think are out there. The next team that needs a quarterback are the Vikings. But, you know, I want to say this. I don't know why they would move off that pick at number 11. To go up and get J.J. McCarthy, who might be there anyhow if you wait at 11. But even if he didn't, even if he went, if somebody else wanted him, I'm taking Michael Penix Jr. over J.J. McCarthy. And I know he's going to be there at 11 in all likelihood. So, I mean, even if that's what you wanted to do, he throws a much better ball, I can tell you that. I think it's interesting with Harbaugh tonight, the Chargers at 5. To me, if they're going to go by their M.O., they're going to go offensive line. That's who he is, right? Now, you might say, well, they better bring in a young receiver because they've lost receivers, but his MO is to run the damn ball and make life a lot easier on his quarterback. And JC Latham is mean. He's 6'6", 340 pounds. And if you're going to decide to play bully ball in that conference, which means you're going to zag when they're all zigging, then you would bring in a dude like that.
It makes the most sense. And especially considering Herbert's injury history. And he's always, I think his first couple of years, he's been in the top three in sack percentage.
Yeah, and they want to run the ball. You know they do, and it would open things up for him. I do think it's fascinating. You know, we all watched Brock Bowers this past year, last 2 years. So I started looking at this morning, wondering about tight ends in the draft. And he's an intriguing guy in the draft. Some people say the Jets are going to take him at 10. But he's kind of small when you look at the measurables. He's not a good blocker. And so you would look at all of his numbers and say that he's going to be more of a receiver. And here's the history at the position, all right? This is the first round history of tight ends in the NFL. Well, it's not the entirety of it, but here you go. In the modern era, really. Over the last 16 draft cycles, going back to 2008, Just 13 tight ends have been drafted in the first round. Only two have gotten multi-year second contracts from the teams that drafted them. Two! 16 draft cycles going back to 2008. We've got two. Pettigrew, Brandon Pettigrew, 09 first rounder. He tested free agency before returning to Detroit on a four-year, $12 million deal back in 2014. That's modest. Cleveland's David Njoku had to wait 5 years. He got tagged. Eventually did get that second contract, and it was a monster deal. Rob Gronkowski was a second-round pick. Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews. You know when they went? Third round. Kelce went in the third round. Mark Andrews, who's a stud, went in the third round. George Kittle. I'm just naming the best tight ends in the league, guy. That's all I'm doing. George Kittle went in the fifth round. So you can kind of understand why teams tonight are looking at him. Like that may be a guy whose stock is dropping. And he's a good player. He was an awesome college player. But, like, don't be surprised if all of a sudden people are like Brock Bowers. I don't know. That's a scary history, isn't it? It's like we were doing the other day with quarterbacks. First-round quarterbacks. Everybody, you know, you got to have a quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league. It's an offensive-minded league. All the rules are in favor of offenses. You better have a quarterback. Got to have it, right? Okay, fine. So they've invested all of these resources, all of this time, all of this effort to find out who am I getting at the most important position on the field. I'm going to see every throw he's ever made going back to high school, to college, every moment that you could possibly have, third and short, third and long, fourth quarter, tie game, losing by 30. How does he practice? I'm going to talk to everybody that's ever known the guy. And they still get it wrong all the time. And in fact, we were going through this. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in football. Well, he wasn't the first quarterback taken in that draft. Wasn't the second quarterback taken in that draft, right? He was third. This happens all the time. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I find that fascinating. This is a league that has, I mean, all these teams have money for days. They've got brilliant people, football people, scouts, analysts, coaches, all breaking this down on the regular, and they get it wrong incessantly. I mentioned offensive tackle at the end of the last hour, and if you're going to look for moves, eight offensive linemen per Albert Breer and others look to go in the top 25 picks. That's a ton of offensive line player, ton of them. I mentioned Florida State's players when they could get drafted. Jared Verse tonight. Keon Coleman, Braden Fist tomorrow. Again, then we start looking at guys like Trey Benson, Johnny Wilson, Jaheim Bell, Renardo Green, Jerrion Jones. We're rooting for you guys and all the other Noles that are out there. Let's make it happen. Let's see our guys punch their ticket and have a dream come true. And then all of a sudden, it is a league infused with a ton of Florida State players, which is obviously great for recruiting. Great for recruiting, and a real opportunity for Florida State to continue to build, because reputation grows, wins on the field grow. Now you got guys in the league. It is a recruiting tool that is so easy to walk into a room and say, hey, look, you want to put a final stamp on how far back we are and how much better we are. We're all over the league. We're all over the league. And we went 13-0 last year. I mean, what more could you want? Pay attention to this. Heads up, everybody. I'm going to tell you about a story that kind of got buried. And I'm efforting. That's not a word, but I use it all the time. I just like it. to get to the bottom of this, to see how it impacts football. The story, I don't think, had legs or hasn't up to this point, because it was under the heading of basketball. But I think, and let's read this together, I think this affects football, which changes significantly the portal. And this is the story. The headline, Jeff Borzello, All college basketball transfers must be in the portal by May the 1st. Okay. So you just read that headline and you know what? You don't care. You don't care. And if you're a Knoll, you're like, yeah, well, you know, right now that's on my back burner. I'm not overly concerned with what I got. A good baseball team vying for a top eight national seed. I got a football program that just won the conference and is trying to sustain excellence and go back to the college football playoff. I got the NFL draft coming up tonight. I've got the NHL playoffs on a nightly basis. I got the NBA playoffs. I got a lot on my plate. I'm not going to click on this Jeff Borzello story. I don't have enough space to worry about college basketball transfers having to be in the portal by May the 1st. Don't care. But I did click on it. It was early. I was left to my own devices. I was having coffee. And I thought, okay, I'll give it a quick perusal. That's what we'll do. Let's see what we got here. New transfer legislation passed last week by the NCAA has added a sense of urgency to the looming close of the men's and women's transfer windows, as all transfers, even graduate transfers, bold type, now need to be in the portal by the close of their sports windows. So this intrigued me right off the bat. Wait a minute now. Previously, graduate transfers didn't need to adhere to transfer window dates. Graduate transfers. They didn't have to adhere to the transfer window dates. They could enter the portal whenever the hell they wanted to because they were graduates. So we've seen that, right? Oh, he's graduated. He's got a degree. He can leave anytime he wants. We'll get that kid maybe in the fall because he's going to graduate this spring or he's going to graduate over the summer and we got a chance to bring in another player. So last week's transfer legislation included the elimination of the graduate transfer exception. It caught players and coaches by surprise. Quote, student athletes who plan to enroll as graduate students at their next school can enter the portal at any time during the academic year, but must enter the portal prior to the conclusion of their respective sports final transfer windows. The new rule approved by the Division I Board of Directors on Monday applies to all sports. It's effective immediately, the NCAA confirmed to ESPN. With the transfer portal for men's and women's basketball closing Wednesday, that could lead to a flood of names entering the portal. The exception for coaching changes will remain in place, which does give players 30 days to enter the portal from the date that their coach left. That you can still do that, no matter what, all sports, which is fair and the right thing to do. So this would apply, you know, you've got, obviously, there's some big-name basketball players that this applies to, and since he covers basketball, he's going to note those things, like a Kentucky player or a BYU, whatever. I don't really care about that. So I am curious now to see how this affects football, because it says all sports. And prior to this, the rule was, if you were a grad transfer, any time you want, you're good to go. I'm kind of curious, guys. I'm going to see how it sounds like we can no longer rely on somebody graduating over the summer and saying, yeah, we got a guy. The portal, we talked about it last hour. It's not robust with elite players that we feel like Florida State should be throwing gobs of money at. I know it doesn't work that way, and I have to say allegedly and all those things, but I'm not gonna tell you they're not gonna get anybody. They'll get somebody. But I feel like the people that they're in position to get right now, or the players that are there and available for them if they're interested, are perhaps just kind of jags for lack of a better term. Just another guy, if you guys don't know what that abbreviation is. Just another guy. And that's fine. I mean, you can get depth pieces here. Some cycles are going to feature players that everybody knows and that are huge difference makers and somebody they should race out there to try to get if they can. Other cycles like this one, perhaps, are just going to be, yeah, there's a guy I'd like to get him, but it looks like he's already aligned with so-and-so. There's a guy over there that I'd like to get, but I don't think we're going to get him either, and I don't want to spend that much to get him. And that's the other part of it, right? How much do I want to pay a second or third teamer. I'm going to overpay him if he's a defensive tackle. I'm going to overpay him if I'm a wide, if he's a wide receiver. That's what the market's telling you has to happen. You may just make the decision, no, I'm going to trust that our guys are going to continue to mature and get better. And, you know, I'm not going to have a knee-jerk reaction here. I do think when you suffer an injury within a segment group, it may change the math on this. I think that, you know, Florida State, you could go get, like, I think for Florida State that there, since there's not an elite player at the position right now, so let's just use wide receiver as a talking point here. I still think Florida State could use, and I'm making a player up. Don't try to read into this. Sometimes I say things and you guys rightfully read between the lines and you get your answers and I'm trying to be careful. Other times I'm just giving you scenarios that could happen. And so I'm going to say that this is a scenario that I could see them, you know, moving forward with, which is to say, how about a wide receiver that's played a bunch for a team that, you know, I'll use Marshall. That's always my fallback. Marshall or somebody like Memphis, somebody like that, right? Has had a good career, has played in a lot of football, college football games, has been a player that's been productive, but not an elite player, not a guy that projects to go in the first two or three rounds of the NFL draft. Just a guy that has a ton of experience, good hands. The moment's not too big for him. You can trust that he's a quick learner, a good teammate. You may be able to go grab a guy like that. Like that seems what's more likely to happen right now, given who's out there. Like, go find a guy that was really good at Tulsa. And, you know, he didn't have to be the player that we've done that at other positions, as you guys well know. One of those guys has an outside chance of getting drafted in the first round tonight in Braden Fisk. You know, that you went and got him from Western Michigan. But barring a player of that caliber being out there, now you're just looking for real experience, somebody you can trust, somebody who'll catch the ball. Somebody that's played a lot of football and you feel good because I don't, the star is not there. The Keon Coleman's are not there right now. Jeff Cameron Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom. A salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
And you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town you want to go outside. Go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't
no.
be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you can get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road, and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Something to point out here that I think is fascinating, and this involves teams going from one conference to the other and how that could be mitigated financially and beneficial, obviously, as we learn more about how all of this was orchestrated. This has become a very, very intriguing process. Obviously, we've got eyes closely connected to watching all the legal wranglings, and I talked about some of that last hour. But I want to give credit where credit's due here. I saw something that just opened my eyes pretty wide. It was written by a guy named Bill Farley, and this is the crux of what caught my eye. He was actually in the process of talking about application fees. Big 12 gives Pac-12 teams a waiver and was getting into ESPN/Big 12, Pac-12 and potential grounds for litigation. and how something here may end up acting as a blueprint to blow up the ACC. There's no other way to say it here. Let me read to you the part that kind of caught my eye, all right? And this would fall under the banner of ESPN and Fox helping their top targets to move conferences. So we've speculated for a while now that if the battle is between ESPN, SEC, Fox, Big Ten, then as assets go, Florida State would be vital. Clemson would probably be on the list. North Carolina, we'd know, would probably be on the list. You could suggest others, and the degree to which that's true is debated all the time as to what they bring to the table. Eyes on sets being the key element here. In a battle for who has the superior super conference and the networks wanting to beat one another or perhaps work together, which is another way of looking at this. I'll give you this. You give me that. We take this. You take that. We end up playing each other anyhow. We all get rich. At the end of the day, these are going to be the two. You know, for a while now, I've been talking about being less interested in the debate as to whether Florida State should hitch their wagon to the SEC or the Big Ten. And we've had a lot of people say, well, we don't know. Do they have a landing spot? I've argued and maintained that they would not have ever filed the lawsuit if they didn't have an understood and agreed upon wink, wink, nod, nod type deal. People don't want to be sued. There's not going to be anything in writing. But I think you could read the tea leaves and suggest they would not have done what they've done as aggressively as they've done it without there being an understanding that there would be a home for them in one of these two super leagues. All right. Under that, or within that discussion, is what do we know? What do we know about how some of the previous assets were obtained by these leagues? What kind of conversations were had when they were at their previous locations? Well, here you go. Here's a definitive statement for you. Texas, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Colorado receive financial assistance from their new conference media partners to assist in the transition to a new conference. ESPN will make a transition payment to Texas and Oklahoma that will pass through the SEC, which is above and beyond what ESPN was scheduled to pay the SEC. That payment will be made sometime between July 2024 and July 2025. There is actual contract language that you can read to that end. I'll read a snippet so you don't think I'm making it up. It'd be hard for me to make it up. I'm not that smart. I don't write contracts. The institution has represented to the SEC, then ESPN Inc., or an affiliate of ESPN Inc., has agreed to make a transition payment to the SEC over and above all rights fees and other payments otherwise payable to the SEC by ESPN and its affiliates, earmarked and designed for distribution to the institution, provided that ESPN Inc. or its affiliate makes such payment to the SEC on or before June 21st, 2024. The SEC will distribute such a payment to the institution on July 1st, 2024. If the SEC receives such a payment after June 21st, 2024, the SEC will distribute such payment in its entirety to the institution by July 1st, 2025. All right, so that speaks to what I just said above. Fox is giving Oregon the option to collect an advance of up to $10 million a year from future media revenues. Statements from the University of Washington indicate this advance is to ease the transition costs, primarily travel, of the new members. There is also contract language, like the one I just read to you, specifying how, when, and what those payments are. An advance up to $10 million, by the way. I mentioned Colorado. You say, how does this fit in? The Big 12 is giving Colorado, the first Pac-12 school to jump to the Big 12, a $2.5 million transition bonus. That is also supported by Colorado agrees that notwithstanding anything the contrary in the conference's bylaws or rules, it shall participate fully in conference revenues distributed to member institutions. Colorado shall receive a membership transition bonus upon execution of the agreement of $2,500,000. So the financial aid to transition schools from one conference to another funded by media companies is what we're talking about here. We're talking about what media companies are willing to do to work with, how closely they're working with conferences and their media partners to secure new members. I mean, this would stand to reason then that there's an understanding. I think, I mean, until it happens, we won't know what those numbers are, but it stands to reason that FSU would be set to obviously fall under the same category as, say, Texas and Oklahoma. They received assistance from their new media partners. So, you know, look, man, this could get I don't know how this is going to affect the legal process and the court filings. I just know that when you now know that, in fact, ESPN and Fox helped that the targets they were looking for helped them financially to move conferences, engineered it. That's what that is. They engineered it. I would think that'd come into play in this lawsuit between FSU and the ACC. And ESPN, you know, kind of being dovetailed into this to some degree because we've seen that element of it. So something to keep an eye on. Fascinating to read about. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to KnollRetirement.com. Now, that's one word. KnollRetirement.com.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Yeah, R. Wilmer, so Fox would help us out, ESPN not so much. No, I think either would. To answer your question, what I was just talking about there, I think that that will be part of any deal that Florida State has when this whole thing ends. Probably. I keep getting back to the fight between the two networks. You know, I don't know how if ESPN ends up seeing that at some point this is inevitable, that the ACC, which was an asset to them, not as big an asset as now, you know, yes, the SEC. But if they realize that this thing is over, it's all over but the shouting, that this isn't going to end well, and that those programs that would be the most TV friendly and fought over, sought after, Florida State, Clemson, whoever you want to say is next after that, North Carolina, maybe to some extent Miami, I don't know, haven't been relevant in 20 years. Whoever else, Virginia, whatever you want to go with. Okay, everybody has different thoughts on this. But I would be very surprised. It may happen. Maybe it's agreed upon by the powers that be. I don't know. But I would just think it'd be crazy if I were ESPN to allow Fox to grab for the Big Ten in that footprint, Florida State and Clemson. I've said that time and again. It seems strange to me that you would not allow them to plant that flag in your backyard. That two major assets. I mean, Florida State, that is undeniable. This is not homerism. Go look at the numbers. Look at the TV numbers. Look at the look at the gear bought, all of it. Like, it would just be nuts to allow them to go to the Big Ten. Now, I'm not saying it won't happen. It might. I don't know. I know that there's a large contingent of our fan base that wants no part of the SEC, but ultimately I think realize that you can't stay here. So if it has to be the SEC, then it's the SEC. And if it has to be that you're in bed with those sons of bitches that screwed you a year ago in ESPN, then that's what it's going to be. And you won't like it, but you'll do it because you can't be here. Here is death. You could not like that. You could hate that. You can absolutely loathe the idea of it. But ask yourself this, operating at a deficit of $30 to $40 million per year plus on down the line, what does that leave you? No chance to compete, and you'll become Nebraska. And Nebraska's in a money-making conference, but they don't compete. But I'm just using them as an example of a once-proud, tradition-laden program. You know, that is another thing. Just a side diatribe here. I can't believe, when they lost Trev Alberts, All-American, All-World player, we all remember how good Trev Alberts was. When they lost him as athletic director, and he went to Texas A&M recently, and I did some work with that Nebraska site, our equivalent on three, and love those guys, all great guys. I can't imagine the devastation of those fans, because to me that signifies even more of the end. One of your own, who was as proud as they come and making great money and bleeds for Nebraska, just said, nah, ain't going to work out. I'm taking it on down the road to Texas A&M. Golly, I there's all kinds of money. Maybe not in Lincoln, but in Omaha. A lot of money. I'm not just talking about Warren Buffett. There's a lot of money in Nebraska those people are as passionate as they come about their college football. How have they not, in the world of the NIL, in the world of which you can do something financially stupid, but maybe enriching for the moment, if you could find a way to get an overzealous gazillionaire who loves Nebraska and is tired of watching them get their teeth kicked in, could you say to him, look, we need to buy our way to an undefeated season or something akin to it. We got to win some big games. We got to beat an Ohio State. We got to beat a Michigan. We got to matter again. Right now, we don't matter again. You could take like the Bill Snyder approach. Back in the day, Bill Snyder at Kansas State would schedule bums. Everywhere he could, he would just play bums because Kansas State was on nobody's radar. They didn't matter. And he knew that the only way that they would matter is to have a gaudy record, to be able to go to bowl games, to continually be able to walk into people's houses and say, we won 12 games last year. We won 11 games last year. We won 10 games last year. We went to a bowl. We continue to do this. We've done it year over year over year. Now we're relevant. Because he knew, rightfully, and he took a lot of criticism for this, he knew that, bottom line, kids don't look at who you beat. They don't care. You and I do, because we're engaged in debates about who is a fraud and who isn't. That's why we care. I care when I get into an argument with a guy about which team is better, if I'm arguing my guy and your guy. And I said, well, look, good guy. Yeah, thanks for telling me you won 10 games. You beat Nova, Southeastern, and, you know, whom? Like, you start going through all these teams. That's why we know. But high school kids don't. And you could walk into them and you could say, we won 12 games last year. Year before that, we won 11 games. It's not what you think. We're an entirely different program. We're challenging for the league and all this other stuff. Why wouldn't Nebraska engage in something like that and say, just look, we can't sustain this. It'd be nuts, but we have got to become relevant again. We got to have a season or two where we're back on the radar so that we can walk into these living rooms and display our cachet. Look at our history. We see how quickly programs with real, rich athletic history can turn around a program. If you are Florida State, if you are Oklahoma, if you are, name the program that's had success, that's won national championships, that's done all of those things, okay? If you're one of those programs, you just need a reason. You just got to give those kids a reason to buy into all that. Because once you get them on campus and you say, hey, look here, Well, that's the national championship. That's the national championship. That's a Heisman Trophy. That's a Heisman Trophy. That's a Heisman Trophy. These are conference championships. These are huge bowl wins. This is who we are. It's not what you've seen us in your high school time. These 4 years you've been in high school, I know we haven't mattered, but we're back to mattering. But you can only do it if you can walk in and say we're back to mattering because you got to matter. You got to win 12 games. I just can't believe they haven't done it. I felt like the NIL would allow that for some of these other programs to just be like, screw it. We're going to overpay. I know it's insane. We shouldn't have to give this defensive tackle $2 million, but we need to get them from Ohio State. We need to get them from Florida State. We need to get them from Alabama. We need to find these kids, overpay them, get them here, and let's go. I know it sounds really simplistic. You got to have culture. You got to have a lot of things. But, man, they haven't done it at all. They're just out there steady sucking. It's kind of surprising to me that has continued.
Don't you think if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Matt Rhule? And then if he can't do it, it's just not coming back.
Well, damn, man, that's brutal. Can you imagine? Matt Rhule is a very good college coach, and he should be able to do it. I just can't. I mean, can you – if you're – we were all worried about this. This is another way of me saying I'm really, really pleased that Mike Norvell turned out to be the guy. You just never know. Like, if you whiff again and all of a sudden that is the end of Jimbo's time followed by Willie's time, and let's just say that Mike didn't work out. It was too much for him, and he stunk too. And all of a sudden, you had bad upon bad upon bad, and we're looking up, and it's been 11 years, and you haven't been a blip on the radar, and you got to climb out from that. Now, we don't have the struggle of geography that Nebraska has. You know, we don't have that same situation. People aren't flocking to go live in Nebraska. So, I mean, that helps us. But, man, I keep thinking about how if you had whiffed and you had been buried to the extent that they're buried, and there are places like Nebraska, apparently, where when that happens, you can't find your way back out. You can't find your way back out. Miami fans are trying to go through this right now. That's why they've paid Mario Cristobal all that money. They better find a way because they haven't been relevant in forever. They're going to be looking around at each other like, Jesus, man, are we ever going to be any good again? Like, we don't matter at all. That's Nebraska right now. Don't matter at all. And it really shouldn't be that way. Their tradition is rich. They were one of the elite programs in college football history. Stink now. They haven't done a damn thing. If I'm Matt Rhule, I'm finding that dude, whoever that guy is. You know, like Pickens at Oklahoma State, whoever, you know, I'm going there. Warren Buffett, I know you're 1,000 years old, but you're a Nebraska guy.
Well, who owns Omaha Steaks?
I mean, there's so much. I don't know. You could go to Warren Buffett. You don't have to. Just go to Warren Buffett. Hey, man. Brother, you're one of the richest people in the world. Can I get $300 million and turn this thing around? This is ridiculous. Look at us out here in the back alley for 20 years. People spitting on us on their way to the bar. Last week, that guy took a leak on his face. We got nothing. We can't fight back. We got nothing. This is ridiculous. I need your help. In a moment, we're going to have to. I see you guys debating in here about the SEC, the Big Ten, Fox, ESPN. It would make me sick, too. But, guys, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You got to, and honestly, here's the hard part. If we're being realistic, you kind of really need, you probably really need to go to the SEC. You can't stay here, so the Big Ten's fine, but you kind of, from a standpoint of the local economy, Tallahassee, how great this would be for local business owners, this community in general. Every week, it's Georgia, it's Ole Miss, it's Tennessee, it's Alabama, it's Florida, it's, you know, Auburn, LSU. I mean, think about it. Every week, a massive carnival, crazy people coming to your town, spending money without a care. Wicked High, nice name, writes at Jay Cameron, Jeff Cameron. Have you heard anything about ESPN telling the ACC to settle with FSU and Clemson by June 30th or they won't renew their contract? No, not from – I'm not saying that hasn't happened. I'm not saying it has happened. I have not heard anybody say with any degree of specificity that that's true, that that's a thing. Maybe. It's hard right now. I mean, there's so much stuff out there that you don't really know what to believe. I mean, we're dealing in the modern world, right? The interwebs are crazy. So unless you're talking to people involved in the negotiations and involved in the cases and involved with the conference and in the university, it's hard to know. JCS should do a regular segment. Last time Miami was relevant, blank didn't exist. It is fun to do. It already kind of exists on the internet. I mean, it would be, it kind of already does. You remember the memes where they'd have somebody, an explorer, in a faraway outpost. Nope. Miami's still not back. Check in here, and, you know, like just over and over again. We have to say goodbye in mere seconds to you folks on the internet, or at least in the chat, because we're about to do probables here in a second. And in doing so, I do want to note that you can find probables. Got to tune into 93.3. Go to the website, listen live, click on it, make it happen. Goodbye, everybody on the internet. Goodbye, you folks. For you radio people, we celebrate.